the hooked nose. The name was carved into the marble plinth, Palace. There was no sound from inside the room. The door began to open, and Ryan tensed, fingers holding the blade low, ready for the classic knife fighter's upward thrust to the belly. But the door continued to open, and he felt the fresh breeze from the window. The room was dusty and empty. Harvey climbed toward the top floor, then took the water-operated elevator toward the kitchens, hoping to fool his pursuer. Ryan heard the familiar noise of the ropes, cables, and gears, and darted to a spinning staircase with narrow, worn treads. He was within two turns of the bottom when he heard the grill of the elevator slamming shut.
The night's calm and the land's dark.
The voice came from somewhere ahead of Ryan, beyond the storage rooms that fed the kitchens. There were other knives and axes in the kitchens, and Ryan considered getting a better weapon, electing in the end to stick with the hunting dagger that felt right to his hand. Now Ryan knew where his brother was going. The passage was damp, the walls slick with moisture. A ramp led up to the right, slippery with wet mud and animal droppings. It went in a great winding bend and exited in the courtyard, and was the way that the boars were brought in and out of the ville. And Ryan remembered. On the occasions that his older brother Morgan had stood up for him against the bullying of Harvey, the middle brother had often gone cowering into the bowels of the ville, where he fled now. Twice more he glimpsed the scurrying shape ahead of him, and once Harvey turned and fired. Ryan ducked back, bullets sparking off the walls. He listened until he heard the sound he'd been waiting for.
No more bullets, brother!
Ryan felt his whole body racing with tension and anticipation. There was one more doorway. It stood ajar, and Ryan, ever cautious, eased himself through it. His nostrils filled with the ammoniac stench of the pigs. Harvey had made changes down there since Ryan had lived in the ville. The boars were milling together in a circular pit, a barred door at the bottom showing how they were moved. The sides were of slimy granite, 15 feet high. A balcony, 6 feet wide, ran around the top of the pit, with a low wall as its parapet. Harvey and any of his guests who wished to could come and admire the creatures from a position of safety. Apart from the entrance door where Ryan waited, accustoming his eye to the dim light, there was no other way out, except into the boar pit.
Yoo-hoo!
You're dead, Ryan! Been dead for 20 years! Go back to the grave, Ryan!
I'm gonna kill you, brother!
Ryan could make out Harvey now, on the far side of the room, wrapped in the tattered cloak, holding the empty pistol. His face was in deep shadow. Only the eyes, gleaming like tiny chips of molten gold. Ryan glanced down into the pit, seeing better than a dozen of the animals jostling one another, all of them looking up at him. They were at least 5 feet tall at the shoulder, weighing several hundred pounds. They all had ruby eyes and curling ivory tusks that ended in needle points. Now, in a way that sent a chill down his spine, they stopped their squealing, and the basement pit fell silent.
I'm gonna kill you, brother.
Ryan held the dagger up as though it were a holy relic.
Gonna cut your throat with this!
No, never. No, my dear little brother.
Ryan recognized the tone of Harvey's voice. He had always used it when he was attempting to fool Ryan, trying to con him.
All these years, Harvey, and now it's you and me. Just like I dreamed for hundreds of nights. At last I could do it, and get on with living.
Harvey moved from behind a pillar, aiming the handgun at Ryan.
Got a fresh mag for the blaster, brother! Never thought of that, did you?
You're bluffing, Harvey.
The obese figure clambered clumsily onto the parapet, waving down to the watching, motionless boars.
See, my pets? I shall shoot this one-eyed renegade from the shadows, and then you shall have his corpse for food.
Ryan stood where he was, watching Harvey's insane posturing. The knife was nicely balanced, and the range was short enough, but Ryan wanted to feel his brother sweat as the blade sliced open the soft flesh. Somewhere above them, they both heard the sound.
Oh, my Sekhmen, brother.
No, it isn't. Fire blast, can't you fucking see the truth, Harvey? It's done and finished. Your power's gone, the bill's empty. They've all gone. There's nothing left for you.
Nothing left?
Nothing.
Oh, yes, there is, Ryan.
There's this!
Ryan staggered back, feeling the fiery pain in his left shoulder. Even a small caliber gun like the .22 packed enough of a punch to knock a man off balance.
And again, brother!
Ryan threw the hunting dagger underhand, seeing the lamplight catch the blade as it spun in the fetid air. Despite his wound, Ryan's aim with the knife was deadly accurate. It struck home where Harvey's rippling chins melted down into the top of his chest, burying itself deep in the soft flesh. Harvey dropped the Colt from numbed fingers, watching as it fell into the pit. He leaned forward, swaying, his vast bulk making it hard for him to keep his balance on the shallow wall.
May you die of Nukrat.
Then, as though giving up on the struggle, he fell heavily into the pit. Ryan, holding his shoulder, looked down into the semi-darkness. His hands told him that the bullet had gone clear through without hitting the scapula or the collarbone. He felt dizzy for a moment, but knew he was going to be all right. Below him, the last rites were swift and deadly for Harvey Carter. Both ankles broken by his fall, the gross man lay there on his back like some obscene insect, his rich cloak spread around him in the straw. His mouth opened and closed, but no sounds came from it. One hand touched the taped hilt of the knife, where it protruded from his chest, but Harvey made no attempt to withdraw it. The great boars had eased away from the thing that had come crashing down into their pit, but now they were gathering courage, shuffling nearer, snouts lowered, jaws gaping. Ryan watched, leaning on the wall, flexing the fingers of his left hand to make sure the bullet hadn't severed any ligaments or tendons on its way through. Apart from a dull ache, it didn't feel too bad.
Oh, brother! Help me!
The sudden noise disturbed the rest of the tusked monsters, and they all seemed to attack at once. The bloated body vanished under the bristled boars. Ryan straightened as he heard the voice from behind him.
Now you can join your brother, Ryan. Jump in after him.
He turned and looked into the meltwater eyes of Lady Rachel Carter. She was holding the lethal dart gun that had once belonged to her son, and it was aimed at Ryan's stomach. Rachel had been bleeding, and there was blood crusted around her mouth. Her face also bore the clear imprint of a ringed fist. The eyes were venomous with hatred. She wore a long black dress that dragged on the floor, hiding her dainty feet. The stiletto was sheathed at her belt. The bag that she normally carried was missing.
I offered you the chance, didn't I? Now see what you've done. Harvey dead. Jabez, sweet child, dead. The Ville ruined and everyone gone. All because of the return of a middle-aged, one-eyed, double-paw hired killer. You, Ryan.
It was nothing, lady. Anyone would have done the same if they'd had the chance.
I'm going as well. I have my jewels packed. My favorite mare is in the stables, saddled and ready. She can outrun anything in the Shens. By sundown, I'll be 40 miles south of here.
I thought I could run from my past, too. I ran for 20 years. In the end, I found I'd run clear back to where I'd started. You can't run from what you've done.
Watch me, Ryan.
You won't even get out of the Ville.
You won't even know, Ryan, because you'll be dead with a gut full of steel darts. And I shall look back and enjoy watching you kicking at my feet. I shall remember that.
Nevermore.
Rachel's corpse slipped untidily to the stone floor of the balcony, the dart gun still held in her right hand. Powder smoke hung in the cool air of the pit, and the stench of cordite was heavy.
And that, gentlemen, concludes the entertainment for today.
Thanks, Doc.
It was raining heavily. Evening had come early to the Shens, borne in on the teeth of a rising wind and the threat of a severe chem storm sweeping from the Blue Ridged Mountains to the north and west of Front Royal. Ryan and his friends regained their own weapons and clothes, then found ample food in the empty kitchens. None of the local villagers came near the fortress that first night, In the abandoned palace, it was easy for Ryan and Christy to find an empty bedroom for themselves for the night. There was some wine from a crusted green bottle that Doc found in one of the old cellars. Called Chateau Neuf de Pop, it was a delicious soft red wine that lay like a silk ribbon on the palate. There were words on the dusty label that Christy said she thought were French. They made love with an infinitely gentle slowness, relishing each other's body, doing for each other the things they knew would give limitless delight. Afterward, Ryan lay with his head cradled on Christy's stomach, one hand stroking her breasts. The shoulder wound had been thoroughly cleansed and bandaged, and the pain had now abated to a steady throbbing. Nothing vital had been harmed by the 22, and he knew from previous experience that he would be as good as new within a week or so.
Decision time, lover.
Stay or go, you mean?
You've done what you came for. Avenged your brother Morgan and cleared out the stables. Now you can take over.
I know.
Nobody'd say a word against it. I'd stay here. Maybe Doc and Lori would stay on, too.
But not JB or the kid?
Some men need to keep on moving. Can't stay still. Both of them.
Ryan sat up and pulled the sheets around him against the chill of the night.
What about me, Christy? Can I stay here for the rest of my life? Do I want that? Step into Harvey's shoes? Live as Baron of Front Royal?
If you want to, Ryan. That's the only reason. It's there for you. That's what we came for. To give you the peace of mind from knowing. 20 years wondering. Now you know. Gaia, lover, inside your head, you must know what you want to do.
Ryan knew she was right. The leaders from all the hamlets within the control of Front Royalville had been sent for and brought in. It took 4 days, by which time the place was back and running, with most of the servants returning to their old jobs. But there were no new sekmen appointed. Ryan had made it clear he wouldn't agree to that. He made a long speech, the first he'd ever undertaken, and told the listeners what was going to happen. When he spoke of the ville existing for the good of all, there were scattered cheers. But his announcement that he and his friends were moving on and leaving Nathan Freeman, now called Cotter, as the Baron of Front Royal, was greeted with a stunned dismay. A toothless old crone in the front row, leaning on a blackthorn staff, came forward.
Why him, Lord Cotter?
Because he is the son of my oldest brother, Morgan Cotter, murdered by Harvey. He is Baron by right and by succession. I name Nathan Freeman as my own heir to Front Royal.
So Nathan, son of Morgan Cotter and the Muty girl Gwenema, was duly installed as